Today, we continue with the amazing sermon series called Set Apart. And I just want to ask in this house today, who has been following this amazing series, Set Apart? Who have sat through all four? This is the fifth one. How has it been? Has it been amazing, challenging? All of the above. Even started. So I want to read a scripture before we start. And the reason why I want to read the scripture is it's a way of confessing to you guys. When we started this series, I really felt challenged by the idea of setting apart and pursuing holiness. You know, when you've lived in a fallen world for so long that you've acclimatized or you've become so used to the idea that, you know, well, I'm only human. Holiness becomes this thing that is unattainable. It's like, well, we can hear about holiness, you can preach about it, but at the end of the day, what can we do? We're human, you know. So, and then we come to scripture. We sit through the word, we sit through this series, and then God begins to speak. He says, hey man, listen, you are holy. You, as you sit right there with your horrible driving, lack of indicating, with your watching of Netflix, bad things, binge watching whole series in a couple of days, you are holy. And you are not holier than thou, you are holy. Think about it. How easy it is for you to receive the idea that you're holy this morning. Anyone who feels like, yeah, I'm holy, I can identify with that. Only one person. I want to read you a scripture this morning. And this is the scripture that really challenged my perception of holiness. It's found in 2 Peter. I don't have it on my notes, so don't look for it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read from the ESV version. It says, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us into his own glory and excellence. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. There's a version that says God has given us everything that we need in this present day. On this side of life, God has given us everything we need to live a life of godliness and excellence. Amen? Imagine. So when God calls us to be holy, he's not just asking us to go look for it somewhere. He's asking us because he has given us means and ways and the manual and everything to be holy as he is holy. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that your word, it is active. It is alive, Lord. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, Father God. May your word become alive in us this morning, Lord. Let your word become alive in us, Father God. Father, we know that your word brings life. Your word brings healing. Your word brings restoration, Father God. Your word brings meaning and purpose, Lord. May you just do that to us, Father God. Where we have gone astray, may it bring us back to you, Father God. Where we are misinformed, may it educate us, Father God. But more than anything, may it bring transformation in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to take you on a journey. Today I'm teaching on holiness lived. That's the title of today's message, holiness lived. And I want to take you on a very short journey of how we started the series so that you understand how we landed on this very part about holiness lived. As a people of God, next slide please, how God not only invites us to live a life of holiness, but how he also makes provision for us to live that life of holiness. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Moruti started us with, Be Holy, God is Holy. That was the sermon title. He said, God is holy. And because God is holy, he cannot do anything but be holy. And as a result, we cannot come to him unless we are holy, because if we come to him and we are not holy, the holiness will consume us by default. So God puts a standard for man to say, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. And that relationship, the basis of that relationship is that you have to be holy, because I am holy. I cannot change, but you can. So if you want to be in a relationship with me, you have to be holy, for I am holy. Amen? So we saw how far man is from God because of holiness. And then we came back second week. There was a young guy here. I don't remember his name. He was teaching about holiness lost. And in that message, we saw how man is created in the image of God. And at the beginning of time, man was made to be holy because he was made by God after the likeness and the image of God. But when man sinned, he lost his holiness. Amen? And when man lost his holiness, there was a separation that got between man and God, and man could not access God because he was no longer holy. And God cannot be in a place where there is no holiness. So man lost his holiness, and not just his holiness, but also lost his relationship with the loving Father. Amen? And then we continued from there. We saw holiness revealed. I really like the idea of holiness revealed, because we really get to see what holiness looks like. And the way that God reveals holiness to humanity, it is through Jesus Christ. God brings God in a form of man, who was Christ, to reveal to a fallen people what a righteous person looks like. So as we behold Jesus Christ, we see the holiness of God revealed in a human form. And then we can begin to aspire to pursue this kind of holiness, because God has made it possible for a fallen people to be holy as he is holy. Amen? So if we pursue to become like Christ, we are pursuing to be holy as he is holy. And then we can come boldly to the throne of grace, because not only are we coming, but we are not coming in the image of ourselves, but fully clothed in Christ. Amen? So when you accept Christ, you immediately become holy. Do you guys believe that? I can see that you don't. Well, it's a good thing that scripture teaches it, not me. So I can say it with boldness. That is why you guys are holy, because you have accepted Christ. And because you have accepted him, you have received the holiness that comes when we put on Christ. God sees us through the lens that which is Christ. And therefore, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, not because we are amazing, but because Christ is. And it makes it possible for us to do that. Amen? So the holiness is not only revealed in Christ, but it is revealed so that we know what to aspire to look like before God. And then Muruti, last week, he came and then he showed us holiness restored. And last week was a very emotional Sunday, primarily because when we think about the restoration of holiness, it's a little bit more than just God restoring man into his right standing. But we see God acting in his justice. You know, when God said, if you sin, you will surely die, and then man sins and he doesn't die, God does not exempt man from death, but he lay his own life down. The Bible says he made him who knew no sin to be sinful, so that you and I, who were once living in sin, we may be the righteousness of God. So Christ dies on the cross, taking up all God's wrath because of the sin that you and I committed. So you and I can live in the fullness and the righteousness that is found in Christ. That is why we are holy, because that Christ died like a sinner so that you and I can live like a holy, the holy ones. Amen. Above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I find it amazing how Paul phrases this part of scripture to the church in Colossae. It's nice how he starts by reminding them of their previous condition in light of God's love. He says, and you who were once alienated and hostile, just like you and I, we were once there, we were doing evil deeds. We have now been reconciled into this one body because of what Christ did for us. And we've been reconciled into this body so that Christ may present us holy and blameless without reproach. And then verse 23, this is the part where now it kind of extends a hand to us to say, now this is how you are to react because of this. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister to. You know, sometimes when you think about the gospel and how many times we have heard the gospel as believers, the gospel is powerful. But when we hear it time and again, it gets desensitized to us. It kind of becomes ineffective in our lives. And it's not because the gospel itself is not active or powerful, but it's because we have become too familiar with the gospel. Last week in our group, we had a conversation and we landed on a question. And the question was, what is the reason that you're not sharing the gospel? Like, if you were to think about it, how often do we share the gospel? Maybe every now and again? And why are we not sharing the gospel that often enough? Have you ever thought about that question? Like, how often do you share the gospel as a believer? Maybe let's backtrack a couple of steps and let me just say, then what is the gospel? If someone were to say, hey man, listen, I'm interested in this Christianity thing. Can you please explain to me what is the gospel? Where do you start? Where do we start? We started the one-to-one. That is amazing. I love that. Where would you start? If your best friend right now called you and they'd been in an accident and they're hospitalized and you know that they do not know Jesus Christ, and as you visit them, you can see that they're alive, man, they might not make it. And then they'll be like, hey, man, listen. I don't want to die without knowing Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Please share with me the gospel so that I may accept it, that I may receive it. What would you say? As a believer that loves the Lord and believes the gospel and has accepted the gospel and the hope that comes with the gospel, what would you say? Amen. So I'm not going to share the gospel, but I want to leave that as a challenge. I love that Paul says in this portion here, it says, if you indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. The assumption is that we know the gospel. We are holding on to the gospel. The assumption is that we are living by the gospel because the gospel is injecting hope in our hopelessness. The assumption is that as you go by day in and day out, as you encounter difficulty, as you encounter challenges, you look back and you see the gospel and you see how far God has brought you because of the gospel, and you hang on and you hold on and then you press on and you continue to push. because of the gospel. And I think it's amazing that as believers, we will all agree that the gospel is the good news. It is so much of a good news that we are not even excited about this good news, and we don't share this good news. That's how good the gospel is. It's so good, we don't even have to know it. We don't even have to remember it. It's just good news, and that's what the gospel is. So I want to give you guys 3 points this morning on how God is inviting us to live a life of holiness. And the first one is, we live out holiness in Christ. And this is a point that I think we have spoken much about it. We live out holiness by being in Christ. This is our first step of living out holiness. Because outside of Christ, we can do nothing. In order for you to experience anything of God, you have to be in Christ. We put on Christ, we get to have a relationship with God. And then the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, then he becomes a new creation. The old is gone, and behold, the new has come. We become one with Christ, and therefore we can stand boldly before the throne of grace, because the sin that used to repel God, or maybe used to block God's face from us, it is covered and has been died for by the death on the cross, by Jesus Christ. So the first step for us as believers, if you desire to live a life of godliness in any way or form, you have to understand that this is outside of your ability to do. You can only do it in Christ. You have to be in Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you cannot experience the life of holiness. Nothing. There is no hope for you to living a life of holiness. I'm not saying you cannot be a good person. You can. You can do a whole lot of good things. But as for holiness, that is out of reach. Amen? I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. But the one that really touched me is 1 Peter 1, verse 23 and 25. It says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and the abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass and all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now, what I want you to understand here in this portion of scripture, Peter says, now that you have accepted Christ, you are no longer born of perishable seed. Because when we are the descendants of Adam, we understand that in Adam, because sin came through one man, and therefore all men sin in the same way that when Christ died for that sin, he died for all the other sin. So when we accept Christ, we are accepting the finished work of the cross. Now we are born of the imperishable seed. We are born of the new Adam, who is Jesus Christ. No longer do we live a life of sinfulness, because the one that we come from, he lived a perfect life. Amen? So we live a life of holiness, and our first step is in Christ. And only because of him, we can aspire to live that life of holiness. Second point is, we live a life of holiness through the Holy Spirit. Now, I wish I had time to just dwell on this one a bit more so that we really understand what it means to live a life of holiness. We live it in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It is only in Christ through the empowering or through the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. There is a power that comes with the Holy Spirit which enables us to live a life as God has called us to live. You know, I find it amazing that when Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 7, he's talking to his disciples, and then he tells them that it is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go, because unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. This means you're stuck with me and I can only be in one place at one time. But if the Holy Spirit comes, he will dwell within you. And then if you continue further down that passage, he begins to tell them the things that Holy Spirit will enable them to do. It is through the Holy Spirit that we see a Peter who a couple of chapters later denied Jesus, went back to his old vocation, went back to become a fisherman. And then he encounters the Holy Spirit of God. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter then stands before multitudes and he proclaims this Jesus. And then 3,000 people are added into the body of Christ. It is through the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. It is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we see a young man who was called to waiter the tables. And as he waiters the tables, God speaks to him through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to him. He tells him to go stand on the roadside. And then he runs, and then he stands there. He sees a carriage coming, and then he hears someone reading scripture. And then he asks them, do you even understand what you are reading? And the guy is like, I have no idea. It is through the Holy Spirit. You know what's the amazing part about the Holy Spirit? Is that when he comes, he does not come alone. He does not come by himself. As believers, as we accept Christ and we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be like me, struggling with all kinds of sins and diseases and things. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says he does not come alone. He comes bearing gifts. And the gift is something that you are given for free. And when he gives you the gift, it is not just for you, but for the greater good of the body of Christ. And then not only does he come with gifts, but he also comes with the fruit. That is why the Bible says, and you will know them by their fruits, because if we have the Holy Spirit in us and we cultivate a relationship with him, he begins to produce a fruit in us. This is a fruit that we would not have with our own strength. A couple of years back, in fact, 2015, I was in the office, I was doing internship. When one guy who had been, we were together at university, he had been in ministry for about 2-3 years at that time. We had lunch together, and then he says to me, you, I had no hope that you were going to stay. You see, he had been in the church long enough to see people come in and see people go. So when I came, he knew the person I was on campus. And then he looked at me, he was like, no, this one can't change. I know you guys looking at me right now thinking, hey, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. I just want to say God has done a lot. God has already done a lot. And then this guy is like, man, I honestly did not think that you were going to stay. And the fact that you're here, and then it hit me. This is not something we get to do with our own might and strength. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God at work in us. In fact, when he comes inside of us, I want to point you to something amazing about the Holy Spirit. Have you realized that before Spirit, there is a word, and that word is called Holy, which means he is a Holy Spirit? And the Bible says that God will not dwell in that which is not holy. And Holy Spirit chooses to dwell in you, not because you are holy or because you have attained holiness with your own strength, but because Christ has made you holy, so you are worthy of his dwelling. And when he dwells inside of you, he begins to clean you up. Like a garden, he begins to work you. He begins to pull out all the thorns and the thistles. He works your heart. I'm sure right now some of you are looking back and you cannot recognize yourself. And I want to say to you, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you yield and you lean completely on him and not in your own understanding, man, he will lead you and he will guide you and he will help you and he will protect you One of my favorite attributes of the Holy Spirit is that he brings things to remember. He brings the word of God to remembrance. This means I don't have to remember. Well, I do. But instead of choosing, trying to remember it, I read the word. And then as I go by my life, the Holy Spirit, he brings the word to life in me. He makes me aware of the things that previously I would not be aware of. In fact, he makes me sensitive to the things that the world has desensitized me in. You know, there is a sin in this world. And the Bible says we are not of this world, but we are in this world. And without the Holy Spirit, we might as well just live like the world lives. But when the Holy Spirit is inside of us, he helps us to see the sin for what it is. In fact, we become set apart because he is inside of us. We do not find pleasure in the things of the world as the worldly people do. And because of him, we stand out. When the world indulges, we stand and we look from afar and then we pray for the world. Not because we are might and amazing, but because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Amen. I want to read Romans 8. Verse 11 to you, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is just too amazing to take at face value and then live it like that. The same spirit who raised Christ from the dead, he is the same spirit who lives inside of us this morning. This is the same spirit who sets us apart. He is the same. It is through him that we can pursue the life of holiness. My last point this morning is we live out holiness in a community of believers. Now, this is the one that I particularly struggled with as I was sermon prepping. Because like any other group of people, some people have decided to identify as introverts so that they do not have to be associated with crowds of people. Hey, man, how come you don't hang out with people at church? Oh, no, I'm introverted. I like to keep to myself. Amen. So it's like, no, I'm with you, but, you know, I'm here. But don't worry, guys, I'm there, you know. I'm there, but I'm here. Amen. Do you have any friends at church? Oh, I'm not really good with friends. Yeah. I honestly, I'm not talking about you, Vivian. Don't look at me like that. I know you have friends. One friend, M. But isn't it amazing how God displays community in such a beautiful way that if we look at him and we study God, we will see what he is inviting us into. You know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we read the scripture. I like how the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. The triune God comes and he sits together and he says, this is about us. Let us make man. The three in one, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, they sit together. They have a meeting and they say, hey, man, listen, you know what we need to do? We need to make man. And then man is made after God's image, after his likeness, so that he can choose to be like, you know what, guys? I'm an introvert. I like to spend time alone in the image of God. Isn't it crazy? We all know the scripture that says no man is an island. Where do we find that scripture again? It's not a scripture. Oh, I was just making sure. But I want to show you guys something. You know, in John chapter 5, verses 19 to 20, Jesus publicly says, I do that which I see my Father does. I act not in my own accord, but what I observe the Father, which is what makes him holy, because he is the perfect shadow of the Father who acts as the Father acts. That's what makes him holy. Because he's looking at the Father as the Father moves, he moves in a synchronized movement with him. I do what I see my Father does. Community. Pursues holiness in community. And we get to see the Holy Spirit comes in John chapter 16, verse 13. In fact, he's not there. Jesus is telling the disciples about him. And he says to them, and when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you in all truth. And he will not act as in his own accord, but he will tell you of the things that I've told him. The Holy Spirit is not independent in how he acts. He is still living within the community of the triune God. And I want to share a few benefits of us living in community as we pursue holiness. Did you know that if you confess your sin to the person sitting next to you and they pray for you, the Bible promises that you'll be healed? Did you know that? The person sitting next to you, they hold the power of praying for you in your sin, and there's healing for you. How amazing. How amazing is that? And yet we come to church. You know, my favorite type of confession is when I confess straight to God, because, hey, none of you have to know my sin, guys. Like, to be honest, you know, I've spoken to him, to it about God, and that's it. But God says, confess your sin to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I think it's amazing that God would have you here. That God would have you here, not only in Botswana, but in Gaborone, not only in Gaborone, but in Maharaj Conference Center, in Gaps East. I think it's amazing that God would have you with this community, because he knows that in here lies your healing. And the person that is next to you lies a next level of accountability. Like, who are you accountable to? Because all of us ultimately are accountable to God, but God has called us to work together. You know, there's a passage of scripture that says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, let me see how many two can put. 2,000? 10,000. So if you're walking alone, you can do just about enough. But if you're walking with someone, you can do far more better. As we all know the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. The saying holds true for us as believers. If you want to walk this path till the very end, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know there are people who have gone before you and they are standing and they are cheering you on right now, saying, you can do it. We have such a cloud of witnesses and they are cheering us on. Only if we would work together. Some of you God has called to do great and mighty things in this nation. But man, going alone is exhausting. Going alone is depressing. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tells us that if one lies down all by himself, he will get cold. But if two, then they can keep each other warm. If one slips up, the other one is there to help him out. So we pursue this lifestyle of holiness in community because we need each other. God has wired us that way. We cannot do without each other. We just cannot do it without each other. So I want to challenge you, the way you're looking at the person next to you, this is not someone who happens to just come to church, or at least the same church that you come to, but this is someone whom God has chosen and has set apart so that you can reach the goals that God has set out for you. When you walk with the people that God has placed next to you, they can help you become that which God has called you to be. Now, I want to close with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. This scripture really caught me off guard. It really caught me off guard because, again, I like to justify holiness. I mean, we can only do so much, God. I mean, you know. And then the scripture says, strive for peace with everyone, for holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You see, when we start talking about holiness, we can talk about holiness as this grand idea. Well, it would be amazing if we could attain holiness. But God is not just putting out holiness as something to be pursued. He's pulling out holiness as something, it's a standard. You see, in all of this, God remains holy. And because he's holy, he can still not have a relationship with the people who are not holy. That is why he's saying holiness is the bare minimum. Without holiness, we will not get to see the Lord. Not because he doesn't want to see us, but because he is holy. So we too have to be holy. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you desire to pursue this life of holiness, the first step is to give your life to Christ. And the nice thing about giving your life to Christ is that then you have nothing to worry about in your life, because that means your life no longer is in your hands. You have handed it over. Secondly, is to yield to the person of the Holy Spirit. Completely lean on him. Completely. And thirdly, is to make use of the people God has given you in this room. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for the invitation to pursue and to live out holiness, Father God. Apart from you, Lord, this is impossible for us. We thank you that not only are you inviting us into this lifestyle, but you have made provision for us, Father God. You have made it possible for us to live holy, Father God. You have done every single thing that makes it possible for us, Lord. Thank you that you already call us holy, Lord. When you see us, you're already seeing holiness in us, Father God. Father, I pray that we may pursue holiness with every fiber of our being, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.